because I'm going to go over it now, and therefore, you can send it to me after I've given you the answer. So, if you want, if you've done the extra credit, be sure you send it now. Extra, Eric is going to be in this room from 2 till around 3:30 or 4, and then he moves to 2:05. So if you're looking for him, he's in, not 2:05, 1:05. He goes to 1:05 at a certain point when he gets thrown out of this room, basically. Okay, so we're going to go into programs, and then we're going to look at math answer, which is the one that had the extra credit on it. So if I put in 5 and 6 and an asterisk, it gives me 30. And I'm going to take this code. And put it in Notepad. Okay. So what I asked you to do was for extra credit to make this so that I could have addition and subtraction. So the first thing is to look at the logic on this. Good. We'll make it full screen and see if that helps. So, to start the program, the first thing I do is declare my variables. So I've declared my variables. Then I have my prompts. Okay, now I'm going to just write prompts here, because I don't want to take up all the room to write each individual prompt. But the prompts would be get first num, get second num, and get what to do. Okay. Then I'm asking a question, and my question is what to do equal to an asterisk? And if it is, I want to multiply. If it's not, then I want to ask, is it a slash? And if it is, I want to divide. And if it's not, I want to ask, is it a plus? And you can do these in any order. And if it is, I want to add. And if it's not, I want to ask, is it a negative? And if it is, I want to subtract. And if not, then it's an error. Then I close up the bottom one, go back and close the next one, go back and close the next one up, and finally close the multiply. And at that point, I'm doing a write. So after I close them all up, I'm doing a write. And then if I had room, I would put down that I was stopping, but I've run out of room. Okay. So that is my flowchart. So that is my flowchart. And I am, so the main thing here is I ask the first question, and if it's a first question, then I do the multiply. If not, then I ask the next question. If it's that, I do the divide. If not, I keep asking. So I keep, if it's not, I keep asking about the next possibility. Because this is an or relationship. It's one or the other. They can't enter in two different things. So it's one or the other. If it's not an asterisk, well then, is it a slash? If it's not a slash, well then, is it a plus? And so forth. I did them in this order because these two already existed, or the multiply of these already existed. Okay. So now I'm going to go and add in the code. So in Notepad, I have to come down here, and the question I want to ask is if what to do is equal to a slash. And we did that part in class. So I'm now asking if what to do is equal to a slash. And if it is, then I want to do the divide. Now, if it's not, I can have an else on this one, too. And so I can say else, and now I am going to put in, if you want to, you can put them in ahead of time. I've got two curly braces there. So what I've got is, I asked the question, is it a divide? It is, I've got the two curly braces, and I'm going to do the divide. Else, I'm going to ask another question. Okay? Because I can't assume it's a plus or assume it's a minus. So what's the question I'm going to ask? What question am I going to ask? Ah, come on. A bunch of you handed it in for extra credit, so I know you know the answer. Okay, so what do I put here? I'm at this point. If what to do is equal to a slash, I do a divide. If it's not, what do I ask?
Would it be what to do equals plus?
Yeah. Okay. If, thank you. If what, I'm having troubles here, what to do equals a plus. Only I have to have two equal signs, right? Because one equal sign is an assignment sign, two equal signs looks for equality. So I've got to have two equal signs. So if what to do equals a plus, then what do I want to do? If it's a plus, then answer equals what?
Parse float
first num. Sorry about that, but I want to keep the flowchart for a minute, so we'll make it go away in a minute. Plus parse float second num. And then I have to close this curly brace. Okay? And then what am I going to have? Else. And then what am I going to ask down here? Right. If what to do equals a minus sign, then I want to do what? I'm hearing somebody muttering it under their breath. What do I do? Ah, come on, guys. Up here, I did a multiply. Down here, when I knew it was a slash, I did a divide. Here, when I knew it was a plus, I did an add. What am I going to do when I know it's a minus?
Subtraction.
Thank you.
So, first num minus second num, semicolon. And then what does my flowchart say that I want to do here? What do I want to make answer equal to? Answer equal to what? Error. So this is answer equal to error. Okay. Yes.
For at the top where it says what to do equals the prompt, are we supposed to put enter
yes.
all four?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, so now I've got all four up there. Okay. So now I've got to finish this off, and I mainly have to look at curly braces. Okay, come on. We don't want that. Okay, so now I've got a bunch of curly braces that I have to end. Right above that else is a curly brace that didn't get ended. So I have to put that one in. Above this else, I have a curly brace that I did end. And this else needs another curly brace. There is no reason why you have to line up the curly braces except for your own sanity. That's the reason to line up curly braces, because you lose track of them real easily. And if you line them up, it makes it a little bit easier. So if I look at it, this one goes with that. This one needs to go with something, but I won't do it yet. These go together. The little ones go together. So those are easy. Okay? Then I look at this one, and this one is going to line up with that so that I close that one. Then I have an open one up here. This is going to line up with that. And I have an open one here that is going to line up with that. So I have to line those all up. And it's a pain in the neck, but I have to do it. And it makes it a little bit easier if they are indented. Okay, so it's a little easier to line them up if you have indented. Now, what I usually do when I'm doing this, as I also said, is I count the open and I count the close. And if I count the open and count the close and they're not the same, then I know I haven't closed something. So I've got one open, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight open ones, I think, if I counted right. I've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight closes. So I've got eight opens, eight closes, at least I've got a shot at them being correct. So now I'm going to get rid of the ink just so I can see it. Okay. So I've got, if what to do equals an asterisk, do a multiply. Else. And I put all of this else. This is all of that else. That's what I want to do if it's not multiply. Okay, so if it's not a multiply, I ask if it's a divide. And if it is, I do the divide else, And that's all of that that I want to do on the else. Then I ask, is it a plus? And if it is, I do the add, else I do all of this. And all of that means I ask, is it a minus? If I do, I do the subtract, and else I write out the word error. Now, I have the double equals every place, okay? And remember again that the double equal means check for equal. The single equal sign means assign, which means take what is on the right and assign it to the answer on the left. Okay. So now we're going to see, does anybody see anything stupid I did, or does it look like it's working? It might work. I'm making a guess that it might work, but we'll see. So I'm saving this as files, save as, and I'm going to put it on my F drive, and I'm going to call it math answer all .html, and I'm going to change that to all files. So I'm saving it on my F drive. Okay. Then I can bring up and I can say, it's Firefox that I'm in. If I right click up here, I can get the menu bar, which I like to have. So I right click and I get the menu bar, and then I can just do file, open file, and go to my F drive and look for math answer all, and I got the white screen of death. Okay. And I know it's there because if I do the view source, I can see it there. So now I get to go back and try to debug. Okay, so I've got if what to do equals an asterisk. Answer, and I'm guessing that's all right because that was there. If what to do equals a slash. Answer equals first num. Divided by second number. Else, if what to do equals a plus.
That's not close.
Which isn't close.
The minus.
The minus isn't close. I haven't got there yet. Very good. Okay? So the minus is not closed. So maybe that's it. So I'll do a file save. And then I'll come back over here and do a file, open file, and I got a thing. So at least that's telling me that so far so good. Okay? So enter the first number. I'm going to enter a 6. Enter the second number, I'm going to enter a 9, and I'm going to enter a plus, and it comes back and gives me the answer is 15. So that means it worked, because 6 and 9 are 15. Now I'm going to refresh, and I'm going to check the subtract. So I'm going to put in a 9 and a 7 and a subtract, and it gave me a 2, so that's good. And now I'm going to try and put in a 6 and a 7 and an A and say okay, and that gave me error. So it appears to be working, okay? But I don't know, I would also should go back and check the slash and the asterisk. Make sure that all of them are working. Okay. Questions? Does this make sense? Thank you. Anybody? Okay, so I'm going to take some pictures of this. And one of the bottom too. Okay. So now I'm going to go to the next one, which is if with if. So here I'm saying enter the number of points that you've earned. So I'll put in 60. You can choose a prize from Group A. Okay. So here I've got a program, and if you do the view source, you can see the code. Okay, so this is it. Okay, when it prompted me, put in a 60. So I have two variables set up. One is called my points and one is called message. And I then prompted for the number of things and I put in a 60. So if my points is less than 10, then I am going to put up the message, not enough points for a prize. Notice that I didn't document right there. I just changed the memory variable called message. When the if statement is all done, then I'm going to write. I could have written as I went along. I could have here said, instead of put that phrase in the message, I could have said document write and then put that phrase inside the parentheses and it would have written it out. But what I did is I set a variable to hold my message and called it MSG. And put in whatever I wanted to put out, and then at the bottom I said write MSG. That's a tad more efficient, but in this group I don't actually care about efficiency that much. But it's a tad more efficient because I/O takes more time. In other words, writing to the screen takes more time and involves more code behind the scenes than writing once. So if it has to set up 3 writes, it takes a millisecond longer than it does if it doesn't only has to set up 1 write. But we won't worry about that. So I'm saying if my points is less than 10, put 1 comment in the message. Else, if it's less than or equal to 50, put a different comment. Else put a 3rd comment in message. And that's the one I got because I put in 60. And 60 got me the 3rd message. Okay. So again, if I were doing this from scratch, and by the way, you have the homework assignment, and I forgot to write up there that you have to do the flowcharts to go with the problems. Flowcharts or pseudocode. I'll put that in tonight when I get home. I just forgot to do it and suddenly remembered I forgot. So you're going to have to do the flowchart or pseudocode along with solving the problem. Okay? So I would do it first. And you would start out by saying, okay, declare my variables. And then you go in and I'm doing my prompt. And then I'm asking, is my points less than 10? And again, I'm not writing, if I were being very careful, I would write my points less than 10. But I don't have enough room up here, so I'm not writing that. I'm just putting less than 10. Because this is my guide to doing the program, and that ought to be enough. And I'm then going to say message equals not, ta-da, or whatever. Just indicate that I've got a message there. Okay? If the answer's no, then I'm coming over here and I'm saying, okay. If it is less than or equal to 50, okay? Then my message is going to say B. Message equals B. Okay, I get a prize for B. And otherwise, I am saying message is A. And then I'm coming over here and I'm doing my write. To write my message out, and I'm stopping. So the problem here would have said, write the program to take in the number of points, and if my points is less than 10, do such and such. Else, check and see if it's less than or equal to 50. And do different things depending on the answer to that. Now notice the first question I asked is if it was less than 10. So if it's less than 10, it does that message. And then it doesn't go to the else, right? If it does the message, not enough points, is it going to go to the else? No, it's not going to go to the else. So, if it does this, it writes that out, and sets it up, and then drops out of the if statement and writes it. Now, if it's not less than 10, everything from 10 and up is going to ask this question. So, I only ask this if it is 10 or larger, because less than 10 has already been handled. The only thing that is dropping through to this else is things that are 10 or above. Less than 10 has already been handled. Okay, so 10 is going to hit here. 11 is going to hit here. Any number 10 or larger is going to hit there. And I'm asking the question, is it less than or equal to 50? So I'm looking for something in the range of 10 to 50. If it's 10 to 50, I'm going to get group B. Else, I'm going to get a group A person. And as I said, 60, so I got a group A person. Ask if you have questions, because I've given you a bunch of problems you've got to do next. So ask if I'm not making sense. Enter your name. So I entered Susan. Enter the state, Massachusetts. Susan, you live in Massachusetts. this a little bit bigger. Okay. So now I'm coming in, and I've got a little more HTML in this, the way you wrote your HTML. I've actually now added in that I'm going to put in a little bit of HTML. I've got a head there, I've got a title, I've got closed head, and I started the body. And then I told the browser that I was doing a script. So it's a little more looking like regular HTML. Then I set up a variable called the name. And this time I wrote it as window.prompt, and you can write it either way. Window.prompt or just prompt means the same thing. It means a prompt in the window either way. So I said enter your name, and then the next variable I said enter the state. Now notice this time I declared the variable at the same time that I used it in the prompt. Okay? And that's an acceptable way of doing it. I think most people declare their variables first and then do the prompts, but this is an acceptable way of doing it. Okay? Then I'm asking the question, if the state equals Mass, or the state equals Rhode Island. Notice the two bars there. That means or. And the bars are the things right below the backspace. Okay, on your keyboard, right below the backspace are the bars. So the two bars means or. And it may show up like this. Okay, kind of a break in between them. Depends on what you're working with. Okay? So, or is the two bars. So, if the state equals Mass, or the state equals Rhode Island, I'm doing a document write. And this is how I'm doing it. I'm writing out the name that was entered in, the plus meaning concatenate. So I'm concatenating with you live in. And notice the space in front of the U and after the N. That's so that they won't all run together. Concatenated with the state. And then I put in the comma separator. I could have used the concatenate separator. And I wrote BR. So I want to skip down to the next line. For no good reason, except we're going to go and add something into this in a minute. And then it makes sense to skip down to the next line. If it's not Mass or Rhode Island, I'm writing out the name concatenated with you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island. And I stuck the BR in since I had a big, long literal in quotes. The BR has to be in quotes too. I can sneak it in there and make the BR in quotes as well. Okay. So if I had entered in, let's see, I've got to get rid of the ink. If I had entered in New York, it would have said, you do not live in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. So if you have this open, try it. Put in New York or something and see what one comes up with. Okay. So this is an or. Okay. If I wanted to write something like and put that in down there, and then either way, both of my things that I can do
have a BR at the end. So document right would show up on the next line. So if I do a file save as, whoops. And I'm going to call this test or.html. And I'm going to save it on my F drive. And then if I go and do a file, open file, and I go to my F drive, and I click on test or, it says enter your name, David, enter the state, New York. And it says, David, you do not live in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. Goodbye. Okay. And that was done because I put in another document right down there. Now, I can also embed this inside and have some more HTML. So I can say HTML state test or something like that. So I can have some HTML written in before the script. So I can say this is a state test. And then after the script, I can write out an H1 again that says goodbye again. Okay. So I'm going to do a file save of this and then do a refresh. And I entered Anne in Rhode Island. And this is what I got. Okay. But notice that I have some HTML in here as well as some JavaScript. So I put an HTML HI up there and another HI down here, and the script is in between. So I can embed the JavaScript inside the HTML. I might have some images that I wanted to put out. I might have a lot of things going on. And I can do it within the body. But when I decide it's time to do JavaScript, I have to tell the browser about it. And the way I tell the browser is I say script. Type equals text JavaScript. Questions? Okay. The logic for this one, and I'm going to mainly look at the if statement on this one. So I have the question about, is it Massachusetts? And if it is, I put out the message with the document right. I put out the live-in message. Okay. If it is not Massachusetts, I have another chance. Is it Rhode Island? And if it's Rhode Island, I'm going to put out, it should be like that, the live-in message. If it's not, I'm going to put out the not message. Okay, you do not live in. And then I am going to close it. So this is an or situation, Mass or Rhode Island. Okay, take a few minutes and take this one and change it to a simple if. where I ask the question, if the state equals Mass, and I write the you live in, else, test and see if it's Rhode Island. So instead of using a compound like I did here, with the this or this, turn each of them into a separate if statement. So take a minute, bring up the code that I had, that doesn't have the HTML, so you're gonna bring up the code that I had, and give that a try while I'm fixing it up here, and then we can work with it. Okay, so try doing separate ifs. So in other words, I'm going to take the part about Rhode Island out and just ask if the state equals Mass. And if it doesn't equal Mass, I'm going to have to ask, does it equal Rhode Island? Okay. People seem to be looking up here enough and catching from here. So, I'm starting out and I'm saying, if sustained with mass, it does. I write, document, write the name you live in, the state. Now, obviously, I could have said you live in mass, but I just kept it the way it was. If they don't live in mass, I'm dropping down to the else. And all of this is within the else. So then within it, I'm saying, if the state equals Rhode Island, document write the name you live in. Well, I entered Peter and Rhode Island, and I got document write Peter, you live in Rhode Island. Okay. Else, if it wasn't Rhode Island, I've run out of chances. And so I write, you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island. Okay. Questions? Did that make sense? Did you get basically the same thing? Any questions? Okay, this is supposed to be interactive. I say, are there any questions? And you give me a question, or I say, no. Okay. The next one that I want to look at is, says problem two. I have a wonderful name for that. Okay, again, I asked for it to enter a name. There's Mary. Enter the year of birth, 2000. Marital status, single. Mary, you do not meet the criteria. Okay, so for this one, I did the same thing. I said variable the name, variable year birth, variable that marital status. Year birth, I decided I wanted to make sure it was a number. So I put the whole prompt inside parse integer, saying, whatever they enter in, I'm turning into an integer. And then I took in a prompt and I said, enter the year of birth. Now I entered in Mary, I entered in 2000, and I entered in S for single. So then I came down and I said, if your birth is greater than 1980, and, okay, notice the double ampersands there. That means and. So I said, if your birth is greater than 1980 and marital status equals M, then I am going to say, Mary, you meet the criteria. Otherwise, I'm saying, Mary, you do not meet the criteria. So for whatever reason in my advertising campaign, I want people that were born after 1980 and are married, because I think they're the ones that are going to buy my product. Okay, so I want a list of all the people that have been at my site that have a year of birth greater than 1980. Marital status equal to M. Okay. So now, if I look at the flowchart that I should have brought coded ahead of time, or the pseudocode that I've been coded ahead of time. Again, I would take in the variables, but I'm just going to look at the if statement now. So I'm asking if it's greater than 1980. And if the answer is yes, then I want to ask, is it M? And if the answer is yes, then they meet my criteria. Else, they do not meet. So if I get a no to either of them, they didn't meet my criteria, because this was an and relationship, and both things had to be true. So both things had to be true, and I made it a compound. So I said, if both things are true, then tell them they met the criteria. Else, I don't know which one isn't true, but I know one of them isn't true. In my case, both of them were true. Well, no, one of them was. This was greater than 1980. So I got the, you do not meet the criteria because of the marital status. Okay, so I got a yes to the 2000, but then I got a no to the marital status, and I put out does not meet the criteria. Okay, I want you to change this one also and make it single ifs as opposed to the compound if. So go in and change this and ask each individual question. Is it greater than 1980? If it is, are they married? And try changing the program to do that.
This is, both things have to be true. Yeah.
On the board it says Mars State instead of Mars Stat.
Right. That would definitely be a problem. Thank you very much. I drew the flowchart, and two things in an and relationship means I have to get a yes to both of them, right? If they're both true, I have to get a yes to both of them. So when I turned this into code, I said, if your birth is greater than 1980, and if it is, I want to ask another question. So all of this is being done if the year birth is greater than 1980. If it's not, I just wanted to write out you don't meet the criteria. So the not down here is simply writing out that one thing that I did here. Okay. If the year birth is greater than 1980, I next want to ask, is the marital status M? And if it is, I write out that you meet the criteria, else you don't meet the criteria. Okay, so both of them had to be true. So in this case, I asked the first question, and then I asked the second question. Questions? There should be questions, guys. Questions. Okay. Let's look at the homework then. So the first one says, take in the customer's food charges and their beverage charges. Okay, so you're going to put up a prompt and you're going to ask, what are the food charges and what are the beverage charges? Add them together to get the total before tax. So you're going to do an add. Then calculate the tax using 4.2. So I'm going to do a couple of calculations here, because first of all, I have to take in both the food and the beverage. I have to add those together and get an answer. Then I have to multiply by the 5.2% to find out what the tax is. And then I have to calculate the tip, and I'm tipping at 15%. So I got to multiply by 15%. So I'm going to end up with three calculations in a row. The first one I'm adding, the next one I'm multiplying, the next one I'm multiplying.
and then I have to add those all together. So I've got the total that I spent, I've got the tip, and I've got the tax.
Okay.
So if I... The first thing you have to do is understand the problem.
Okay.
So I'm taking in, let's say, my food is $80, and my beverages is $20. So then I add them up, and I get $100. Okay, so that's my start of my bill. Then I multiply the $100 times the tax, and I get something. And I multiply the $100 times the tip, and I get something. And then I need to add those all up together to get my total. Okay, so I'm actually doing a bunch of calculations there. I have got to do four calculations. So I can call this answer one, answer two, answer three, but that doesn't really help when somebody looks at the program. So I could call this total, or not total, let's just say amount, and then call this tax, and call this tip, and then say total equals amount plus tax plus tip. So call that amount. Call this tax, call this tip, and add all three of those up to get my total. Okay, and then I said, display three outputs. So the bill before taxes, the bill including taxes, and the bill including taxes and tip. Okay, so I need to display all three of those. Mm-hmm. So now I come to the next one, and I said I played a game three times and I have my scores. You need to reach 1,000 after the next game. So in order to get a prize of some kind, I've got to have four scores that add up to 1,000. Okay. Take in the game scores and determine what you need to reach 1,000. So if the game scores that you came in with were 200 and 350 and 150, then I'm going to add those up and I've got, what, 700? And so to get to 1,000, I have to do the subtract, and that tells me what the next game has to be to get to 1,000. Okay. So again, I'm doing a bunch of calculations. Okay. So in these examples that you're doing, you're going to be doing a group of calculations. Okay, you're going to be taking in some data, doing a group of calculations, and then putting out the results. The next one, you're taking in four grades. The first grade is 15% of your final grade. The next one's 25%. The next one's 20%. The next one's 40%. So you have to figure out what your grade is going to be. And then once you've got your grade, you've got to ask a question to find out what the letter grade is. Because if your grade is above 89, then what do you get? You get an A. Else, if it's not, you got to find out, okay, is it greater than 79? Or however you choose to do this. But you're going to ask if statements very similar to the way we did it in math answer at the beginning of class today. The next one, you've got a box. You have to take in the height, the width, and the depth and calculate the volume by multiplying them all together. Base cost is 5. If the volume is greater than 50, you add $20 to the base cost. Otherwise, you add 10 to the base cost. And the fifth one, you got to take in 4 things. The number of hours the employee worked. The number that they're contracted to work. So let me take this one in. Come on, you can do it. There it is. Okay, so the number of hours the employee worked. So let's say, for example, that the employee worked 50 hours. The number of hours they're contracted to work. So let's say they are contracted to work 40 hours. Their pay per hour, let's say it's 20. And they make double time if they work overtime. Okay, so they make double time. So you're going to take in those 4 numbers, and then you're going to calculate their pay. Okay, so here I find out that they worked over 40 hours. So they worked more than what they were contracted to work. So therefore, they're entitled to overtime, right? And how many hours did they work overtime? 10. So you're just simply taking and subtracting, and this is giving you the overtime hours. Okay. And then the overtime hours are multiplied by the pay per hour, and also then by 2, because I said they got double time. So their overtime is going to be what? How much should they make for their overtime? Yeah.
4.
Yes. 10 times 20 is 200, times 2 is 400. How much did they make for their regular pay? How much is their regular pay? 800. So what's their total pay? So that's their total pay. Okay. So if those are the numbers that I type in, that's the answer I should get. If I type in different numbers, I'm going to get a different answer. But if those are the answers, the numbers that I type in at the prompts, then that's the answer that they should be giving. Okay? Questions? Okay, yeah. Mainly because what you're going to put in is just from your testing. You're going to send me the one where you've taken in, with numbers in it, but with prompts. So let's say I'm testing this problem. I'm going to put in maybe 50, 40, 20, and 2, because that's what I put here. And I'm going to expect your program to come back with 1,200. If I put in different numbers, it will come back with different. But, you know, I'm going to know the answer that I think I should get when I put the numbers in, and your program has got to give me back that answer. Okay? So you're not hard coding any numbers in. You are prompting the user to type numbers in, and then doing the calculations based on what the user types in. And very frankly, I would test it multiple times because you want to make sure that it's working correctly.
Any questions? Those are due next Thursday. And remember, you've got to either do the flow chart or the pseudo code. Okay, to go with them. So if I have the flow chart that looks like that, my pseudo code is going to be very similar. My pseudo code is just going to say begin the variables, and then it's going to say if year birth is greater than 1980, then it's going to have the next question. The pseudo code is going to look very much like the code. All righty, we're done.